We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Evan Mobley.
It's been a historical franchise in this league for years.
We have a trade to announce. The Boston Celtics select Jason Tatum.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the NBA Front Office Show. A lot more NBA news to break down. We've got rumors and all sorts of things to dive into as the trade deadline does get closer and closer. I'm Trevor Lane. You can find me on Twitter at Trevor_Lane, on Instagram at TrevorLaneNBA, joined by Keith Smith, rocking the Celtics green today at KeithSmithNBA. Keith, before we get into everything, we had a little apparent mishap yesterday that neither one of us knew anything about. I don't even know how to even describe this. There was an audio anomaly.
Fartgate.
Yeah. That's a bird.
So, I went right to it. You were trying to be nice and be professional, and I went right to Fartgate.
You went Fartgate. I went audio anomaly. But in any event, so yesterday we had people mentioning this in the comments from yesterday's show, our Western Conference show, that it sounds like somebody was having some digestive issues at a certain point in our show. I've never had this come up before. And obviously, neither one of us heard it live because neither one of us is mature enough to hear that live and not comment on it and not say
100%. That's how I know it wasn't a fart. One of the two of us would have called it out. We would have laughed about it like children. Because when I heard it, like I laughed like a child. And I was like, what is that? So
the only thing I could think of is at that moment, if you're watching the video, I was fidgeting with some stuff on my desk here. And I've got this like this screen that sits right behind my mic. All I can think is I must have moved that and it slid in a certain way on my table or something. Something like that must have. In any event, we'll see if it happens again today. But you know what? The random stuff that occurs when you're recording in sort of a quasi-live setting like we are, and we're not going to go back and rewatch the entire show before we put it out there. You never know. Sometimes crazy stuff happens.
Absolutely. That's how you guys know you get kind of unfiltered. There's not a lot of editing going on here because we try to purposely not curse a lot and things like that because we want to keep it fairly clean. But yeah, it's you're getting basically the same live cut that you would if you were sitting there watching while we record. We don't do a lot of editing unless something really gets butchered badly, and fart neither one of us heard would not make the list there. So off we go.
All right, let's get into today's news. By the way, this was a sneaky way to just boost the numbers for our last show, because now anybody who didn't watch it's going to go back and they're going to be looking for that. But in any event, we got to talk about James Harden.
James Harden.
We're not going to make it through this show.
Nope.
James Harden is open to leaving the Nets. Oh my goodness. He is apparently, according to Jake Fisher of Bleacher Report, open to leaving the Brooklyn Nets this offseason, and that's part of what's fueling this whole speculation that the 76ers may really just let the trade deadline come and go, say, sorry, Ben Simmons, sit on the sideline for the rest of the season, and then try to use him in a sign-and-trade for Harden this offseason. So I think this does give a little bit more legitimacy to the idea that the 76ers might not be bluffing here, might really be okay with letting the trade deadline come and go with no Simmons trade. But I also think it's interesting that James Harden isn't exactly happy in Brooklyn when this is the team he picked. We talked about this yesterday. He had the opportunity to either go to the 76ers or to the Nets. He picked the Nets, and now he's perhaps, to some degree, regretting his decision. So what do we make of this?
Sure. Yeah, I think the main thing is that there's this is another one of those when there's this much smoke, there's bound to be at least a small fire somewhere that you have to look at and see, you know, where is this going? And I think that there is a chance that maybe James Harden isn't as thrilled in Brooklyn. A couple of things that Jake Fisher called out and some others have, I don't know if they've been quite as direct as Jake was in his article. I think they've more alluded to it, but he feels a lot of pressure with Kevin Durant out and Kyrie Irving only able to play in road games, that he's going to really carry the team. It's kind of thrown him back to his Houston days. There's a lot of thought of he's just in general not happy with Kyrie Irving not playing in the road games and doing what he needed to do to be eligible for those. There was also a the thought thrown out there that he really kind of likes the idea of playing with Joel Embiid, who would, you know, be the best big he's ever played with, which that's not saying a whole lot because it's Joel Embiid. He'd be the best big a whole lot of guys have ever played with in the league today. There's a handful that maybe have played with better big men, but he's, you know, one of the best in the game right now. So I do think that is, it's interesting. I think when you start getting into the contract detail stuff, that's where you can see he's not leaving a whole lot of money on the table. He's in a very unique position. In most cases, a player has to, they can only get more as a free agent that changes teams. Let me rephrase this. In a sign-and-trade, a free agent can only get what they would get by signing with a team outright. Now, in James Harden's case, because his salary is already above the maximum, he can get more than the kind of locked-in maximum amount. That happens with a handful of guys, generally guys who are 10-plus years into their contracts that have those big deals that are, you know, 40, 50 million in that range. So what that means is he can get 105% of his prior salary.
Okay.
So that's about six extra million, roughly six and a half extra million, roughly in first year salary. Then what the difference becomes is he can only get 5% raises if he's moved via sign and trade as a free agent this summer. Whereas if he resigns with the Nets, he can get 8% raises. Mm-hmm. But that first year salary number is big, and that's kind of what everything keys off of, because 5% and 8% makes a difference, but it's that first year salary that makes a difference. There's also a thought of it would be best if he opts in and then is traded, because then he would have to wait 6 months. But then after 6 months, he could sign an extension with Philadelphia at his full amount with the 8% raises and all of that. Oh. And if that's the way that plays out, that is going to be very much a wink, wink. Right. Hey, like, well, maybe we'll talk about an extension later, knowing like day, whatever it is, you know, 6 months from the date, there's an extension locked in for the number of years. So I'm not going to say this is locked in, this is happening, but if a Simmons trade doesn't happen, I think you're going to see this really ramp up for the rest of this year. And that's going to be something the Nets are going to have to deal with, because they're a title contender right now. The Sixers already passed the answering, you know, what about Simmons questions. Yeah. That ship has sailed for them. The Nets, though, are going to have to answer a whole bunch of questions, including James Harden the rest of the way of, are you here? Are you going to leave? Are you going to go? You know, what does it look like? And all that stuff. And that kind of becomes an interesting subplot to the season for one of the best teams in the league.
It also means for us, the Simmons siren will never die. That's what it, because it means if this goes past the trade deadline and goes into the summer, we're talking about another, 6 months of talking about a Ben Simmons trade.
So five at least.
If not more. So there's that added to it, I suppose. But when I'm looking at this situation, if the 76ers feel pretty good, like, hey, we've got, even if it's a 50% chance that we could get James Harden in the offseason, right? If they're hearing back channels, that sort of stuff. then that's got to be part of their decision-making process when they're evaluating trades right now. Hey, if we wait, this might be there, right? And so that's something that they have to factor absolutely. In.
Yeah, because what you're doing there is, unless it's a 100% chance at the trade deadline of Bradley Beal or Damian Lillard or you know, other superstar that's, you know, not expected to be available, you don't do it because the Kings package of guys, the Timberwolves package of guys, Pacers package of guys, three team constructions with those guys. You assume all those will still be there this summer if you don't get Harden, and you can revisit those then. It's so right. I have said for a long time, I thought Ben Simmons would be gone by the trade deadline. I'm off that now. Now I think it's far less likely that he's traded by the trade deadline. I think he's going to stick right where he is, unless some team gets really, really crazy and gets, you know, super silly with, you know, hey, we're going to throw picks and players and everything else. That Philly then says, well, we'll just flip these guys for James Harden in the summer. That's where it could still happen, but I think they're going to hang right on there and say, hey, whatever this season is, it is, and then we're going to really try to load up next year. Again, we said this on the last show. This is their last best chip to really put a title contender around Joel Embiid, just because they've got other salary stuff they got to work around and wait out. So Simmons, this is the best opportunity for them to go get that player, both from a talent part of a trade and the salary matching part of a trade as well.
And let's face it, if you're the Nets and you know James Harden is leaving, getting Ben Simmons is not a bad compensation there for James Harden going away, right? I mean, we've seen teams where the star level player hits free agency, they're over the cap, that guy leaves, and there's nothing they can do to replace him. If you're the Nets and you can walk away from James Harden leaving with Ben Simmons, you gotta feel, I mean, obviously you don't want James Harden to leave, but you gotta feel like, hey, we were pretty fortunate to be in this particular situation if James Harden decides to leave.
If I'm the Nets too, let's be positive and assume the Kyrie situation is resolved next season, one way or another. By the start of the next season, he is able to play in every game. I'm feeling pretty good with Kevin Durant, Ben Simmons, and Kyrie Irving as my grouping, because Kyrie and Durant together, that offsets a lot of the Simmons issue there, because they can do so much stuff, and that team needs a boost defensively. He would give them that. They need another guy who can kind of at that point replace Harden's playmaking ability, and Simmons can presumably do that. So I wouldn't hate that idea if I was the Nats. I wouldn't want to do it right now, because I know some will ask them, why not do it right now? No, you got to see this out, because they still may be the best team in the league. Sure. You know, we don't know. We'll see what it looks like. I don't know that they are. I don't know that I'd make them the favorites or even the co-favorites, but they're going to be there. They're going to make noise, you know, before all is said and done. So, yeah, but that becomes very interesting. I think all around there's a lot of intrigue here, but I think this drags into the offseason.
And if you're the Nets and you're looking at your path to a championship, what you don't want is to do that deal now and then run into James Harden and Joel Embiid in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
And so you would rather, have, if you're running into the 76ers, have it be the 76ers with Ben Simmons sitting on the sideline than the 76ers with James Harden in their lineup. So,
yeah, that's another thing too. Yeah. You don't need to make a team you may need to go through any stronger.
Exactly. Let's jump to Jerami Grant. Jerami Grant, reportedly, according to Jake Fisher, Bleacher Report, offered a list of teams to the Pistons that he would consider going to. And we've talked about this. He does have maybe not a lot of power. There are teams that would still trade for him, but he's a free agent, not this offseason, but the following offseason. He is extension eligible this offseason, though. So that does allow him to direct his landing spot to some degree. And again, we've talked about it. Some teams will just say, you know what? We'll bring him in and we'll convince him to stay. Some teams will take that risk, but he can sort of influence things a little bit in this situation. He's not under contract for 4 years or something like that. So what are your thoughts on that? And we haven't heard what teams are on the list. We have heard some rumblings though, that he doesn't want to become like a afterthought on the offensive end. He wants to still have a role on that side of things, doesn't want to become like the fourth option on offense wherever he goes. So that may help dictate where the Jerami Grant trade situation goes. We know a lot of teams want him. But if he wants to still be a major piece to an offense somewhere, that could limit the number of teams that are really in the running for him.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the tricky part is what pressure is he going to put on you, one, for his role in the offense, as you said, and two, we're hearing he wants the max extension he can get, which is almost $30 million a year. And that's the part where I would be like, yeah, let's see how things go. Like, I'm not locking into anything. That would, again, that have to be one of these wink, wink, under the table kind of deals where we're agreeing to that outside of the parameters of everything else. But I would not do that if I was a acquiring team because I need to just see it, right? He's Jeremy Grant looked great in Denver when he was the third or fourth guy. Mm-hmm. Got paid, put up really good counting stats in Detroit. And by counting stats, I mean points, rebounds, assists. But his efficiency plummeted. It went way into the toilet. His turnovers went up. His shooting efficiency was really bad. It's harder. Now, you could say, all right, well, because that's because it's him and nothing. All right, so if you put him in one other guy, maybe, right? Maybe you can get there with that. But these are all the questions you're having right now if you're a front office. Because what you're doing is you're at the point now where roughly 2 weeks out from the deadline. We're a couple days away from being 2 weeks out. So you're sitting down and saying, all right, we know we have the ability to go get Jeremy Grant. Now the question internally for your team is, should we?
Right.
You know, what should we pay? What should we give up? What should we, you know, look to do? And what is our plan after we have him here? Because that has to be, you know, a massive part of that. And that's where you also involve your coach and coaching staff as well is, hey, we have this opportunity. Where does it go? In general, the coaching staffs are not heavily involved in trades because that's what the front office does and the coach deals with the fallout. But in a situation like this, knowing what's going on, the good thing I think here is, and why we may see a move is, it sounds like he's on board. Mm-hmm. It was very well publicized. James Edwards of The Athletic, who covers the Pistons, wrote the best article on this about Jeremy Grant picked the Pistons because he wanted to play for a team that was run by a black general manager and had a black head coach. And that was very, very important to mm-hmm. him. Now it sounds like he has, I want to say had that experience, but he has an understanding with Troy Weaver, the Pistons GM, of, hey, now I get it. Like, you need to do what's best for the Pistons. As long as you take care of me and send me somewhere I want to be, where we're going to make this all work out well. So I think that was why last year I beat the drum over and over of no one's trading Jeremy Grant. The Pistons are not doing this. You know, that's a good way to turn around and tell free agents, hey, don't ever sign here because we have no interest in what you cared about. So let's see where this goes. I think there's a chance he moves because tends to be, as long as a player is actually truly tradable, it's not like one of these John Wall $50 million contract deals. Mm-hmm. As long as the player is actually tradable, the best player on the trade market at the trade deadline pretty regularly gets moved. So I do think there's a pretty good chance we see Jeremy Grant get traded.
Agreed. I mean, it's a seller's market, and you've got a lot of teams that want Jeremy Grant. He's the guy, right? He's the top of the list for a lot of teams. I'd have to imagine somebody, whatever the Pistons' price point is, somebody's going to hit it. Somebody is going to offer what they want, and he's going to get moved. I have a hard time seeing him still in Detroit after the trade deadline, and we also got word that the Kings and Hawks, who are two teams that are heavily in pursuit of Ben Simmons, are also in on Jeremy Grant, which is interesting. If the 76ers just say, we're out, we're not trading Simmons, we're going to wait for James Harden, see you later, the Kings and Hawks make a lot of sense as teams that could instantly go, okay, cool, well, let's pivot over here to Jeremy Grant and see if we can get something done this way. Obviously, they wouldn't be offering the same package, but to me, logically, it makes a lot of sense that these would be two teams that would be strongly interested in landing Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, I mean, the Kings, they're going to do whatever it is the Kings do. Yes. I mean, that just seems odd. That one doesn't make any sense to me. I personally think Harrison Barnes is a better player and I think is a better fit. I would rather, if I'm going to go acquire Jeremy Grant, just keep Harrison Barnes. If I was the Kings, if that's really the way you're going, personally trade Harrison Barnes and don't acquire Jeremy Grant.
Do we know that Harrison Barnes is in that package?
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, I'm not saying for Jeremy Grant. I'm just saying
in general, you wouldn't want him eating into those minutes.
Yeah, I would rather have Harrison Barnes than Jeremy Grant in general.
Okay.
So I would just, if I'm trading for Jeremy Grant, I'm not rebuilding, right? Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't make sense. It's not a rebuilding move. He's not a young up and coming player. He's not under contract for the next three seasons. So you're really starting to say, all right, we're going to turn this thing around quickly. Well, if you're going to turn around quickly, in my personal opinion, just keep the guy you already have and then do your other moves to turn mm-hmm. around. But I mean, that's it's the Kings. The Hawks side. Get it right. The Hawks have slipped. They've fallen in the standings quite mm-hmm. a bit. They've not had the year they really were expected to have coming off of the success last year. But I think for them, what happens is Grant fits because they're trying to be good right now and right away. But we can pivot because it sounds like the guy they're shopping is their big trade chip is John mm-hmm. Collins. Now Jake Fisher reports Collins for Grant worked straight up. I forget who it was. Somebody else had reported that the Pistons didn't really have interest in John Collins. I'm not entirely sure I understand why. If you're the Pistons, yeah. I feel like you'd be a pretty good running mate for Cade Cunningham at this point. But John Collins is a guy who is I'm pulling it up to make sure I have this right. Yeah, he's only 24. Doesn't turn 25 until before next season starts. And he's in year one of a 4-year, $125 million contract. Pretty good deal for him. And the last year's got a player option. So, but that's far enough out. You deal with that, let it come when it comes and figure that out. And I think we've gone a little too far. John Collins is good. Like, I feel like he's been kind of the guy who's taking the beating for this Hawks season going off the rails. He's really good. He can rebound. He can shoot. He can score. He can finish. He's an improved defender. He's still not a great defender, but he's improved enough that he can anchor some small ball units. So yeah, I don't know, but I mean, if the Hawks really put him on the table, I imagine you're gonna have a whole bunch of teams mm-hmm. out there trying to snap up John Collins if they can.
Yeah, absolutely. I would think that the market for John Collins, it might not be quite as robust as Jeremy Grant just because you can play so many different ways, but you kind of can with sure. John Collins too. Like teams
Grant, would be, you can play three, four, maybe small ball five.
Yeah. Teams would be in on John Collins if he is truly out there on the market. So that's an interesting one. If you're the Hawks and however you get there financially, if you can make a swap John Collins for Jeremy Grant, are you doing that deal?
Here's why I think about it. If I'm the Hawks, I would do that before I would sacrifice other players on my roster in salary clearing moves. Because this is why the Hawks are interested in moving John Collins. He, because of his new deal, you also have Trae Young's extension kicking in. He's very likely to hit the designated player, which will bump him up a tier. So that'll be $35.7 million next year. Then it's hard to forget, but Kevin Huerter signed his extension too. So his salary jumps to $14.5 million. Mm-hmm. Capella added a couple years after that. So you've got a lot of money locked up in this roster over the next 3-4 seasons. And I think that's why they'd be looking to clear out Collins. Not as much next year, because he only makes slightly more than Jeremy Grant does. But what it does do is it allows you to kind of reset things here. Because if you don't love Grant, you flip him in another trade and move him along somewhere else. But I think it's more like if they move Collins, what they do is get a couple players who make less money. You know, maybe they make $20 million combined, and that's how you moved Collins and you kind of reset things there a little bit.
That makes sense. That makes sense. The Hawks
go
that route.
They're in a tough spot, man. They paid because the team won and made that playoff run, and now those guys haven't paid that back because it's been a poor season. But you almost have to really have a sense of, was this a one-year anomaly that we slipped, or was last year the anomaly? And then really have that internal conversation. Because if you're thinking at all, well, last year was the weird season, not this year, then you should be starting to move some guys and look to reset around Trae Young.
And right now they are a game and a half out of the play-in tournament. The Washington Wizards, who have been slipping, currently sitting in the 10 seed. Mm-hmm. So the Hawks, I mean, if they make the right move at the deadline, they can get themselves into the mix there. The question is, what can they do from there? Is this a team that can really move into the second round? Maybe, you know, can they get to where they wanted to go? That's the question mark. And that's something they're going to have to figure out before they make a move this offseason.
Yeah, and we don't love the cliche of, they're the team no one's going to want to play, right? But, I mean, it's kind of true, right? You wouldn't want to see them get through the play-in, because I always look at a team like that is in the playoffs, when you're a huge underdog, how do you win? Well, you steal a game where you make a whole bunch of three-pointers. Mm-hmm. All right, that can happen. And then Trae Young's good enough, he can win a game or two on his own. And now all of a sudden, if you're the higher seed, you're in a series you don't really want to be in. And that's where it gets, you know, really kind of tricky to, you know, deal with a team like Atlanta. So, you know, I think a lot of teams would much rather see them. Yeah, hey, just keep goofing around and miss the whole thing entirely. And then we'll see it, you know, in 2022 and go from there.
Speaking of players who have been missing, and then the Hawks have kind of been MIA this season, but the Lakers have also been a disappointment, certainly, in how they've performed this season. They're not where we expected them to be, but it looks like tonight they will be getting Anthony Davis back.
Yeah.
Finally, in action. I say finally. He's been out since the middle of December, dealing with an MCL sprain. And the Lakers have certainly needed him. They need him on the defensive end of the floor. Their defense has slipped greatly since he got hurt. And he's a guy who can certainly help them out. I don't know that AD coming back fixes all the problems that ail the Lakers. I certainly don't think that's going to be the case. But I also think you can't look at a player of AD's caliber and say, oh, Anthony Davis, that doesn't move the needle at all. That doesn't help this team. No, I think he absolutely will help. And more than anything else, it'll be good just to see him back out there on the floor, though, and healthy again.
Yeah, anybody who's saying it makes no difference, they're quite frankly, they're rooting for the Lakers to fail at that point, because that's just silly. I get it. Anthony Davis wasn't Anthony Davis at the start of this season, wasn't shooting the ball well, wasn't the same kind of, you know, he's just such a destructive defensive mm-hmm. force when he's right, and he wasn't really that kind of guy. But I mean, yeah, and you know, it's funny. I had this conversation with someone just this morning. They're only two games out of the sixth seed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Denver hasn't been able to really create that separation. The four games to catch Dallas, that's starting to get a little bit of an ask. The 6.5 to catch Utah, that's not happening. I can't imagine they're going to climb all the way up there, because you'd also have to climb over four teams to make that happen. But getting into the sixth seed, yeah, that's 100% on the table. Because, you know, LeBron just keeps doing what he's doing, getting Anthony Davis back. Here's how I really sum it up is, Anthony Davis is better than the combination of whatever they're getting from Dwight Howard and Trevor Ariza. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the replacement you're looking for there. Maybe Stanley Johnson, you throw him in the mix, but you know, he's going to give you everything that those guys give you and more. And then they're going to give you whatever they can in, you know, the whatever minutes are left over. And I think too, this is a chance, because now other than Kendrick Nunn, you start to get maybe a look at, or what is it this they envisioned being?
Right.
You know, because now you have Ariza, you've got LeBron, you've got AD, you got Russ, you got everybody else. You know, how does this start to come together over the next couple of weeks and see? And, you know, and then it'll be, all right, move on from player X at the trade deadline with, you know, a second or cash or whatever to dump their contract and open up spots for the buyout market or whatever you're going to do to make those minor moves and just keep going. So, yeah, it's big to get him back now, versus getting him back 2 weeks from now after the trade deadline, because you get a at least you get a couple week look at, all right, this is where we really feel like we're at
right
now.
And this will be the healthiest they've been all season with just Kendrick Nunn out of action. Cameron Payne, speaking of injuries, out 2 weeks. Tough blow for the Phoenix Suns. One of our favorite contracts from the offseason, Cameron Payne. Mm-hmm. That was a great deal for the Suns, but he will be out of action for a bit here. So that's something. You know, the Suns have kind of quietly dealt with some injuries this season. You hear this chatter around the NBA of like, oh, this team has been pretty much healthy all season. No, they've had some things that they've had to deal with, certainly. And now Cameron Payne will be out of action. So another thing for them to overcome here.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, Devin Booker missed a chunk of time. DeAndre Ayton has missed a chunk of time already. He's out again now. Cameron Payne's out. Jay Crowder also hurt. Sounds like he's day-to-day with a wrist bruise for him. So he's out. And you know what? 7 wins, 9-1 in their last 10, 37-9, best record in the NBA. They're now 3.5 up on the Warriors in the West. I mean, if you had to really pin me down right now at this moment and say you have to pick a team to win the title, I think I'd pick Phoenix. I really do. I think they're that good. And you know what? They've got a move to make too, because they got that Dario Saric contract just sitting there that they can get thrown to a trade. And it's so important when you can put a player like that, because of their contract, into a trade. Because you're not sacrificing any production. You're not really giving anything to get something, you know, which is, you know, in the case of so many other teams, you have to give something to get something. That's not the case. It's just moving that on. Now, the question is, will they?
Right.
You know, and are they going to take on any money or anything like that? I mean, they're, you know,
they should.
They're not exactly known for, you know, piling on the payroll.
But
so
my goodness.
Let's see where that goes. But man, are they good.
When you've got a chance, you know, when you've got a chance to win it, to really win it, you got to do it. You got it. You have to.
They were so close last year. Yeah. I think people have forgotten. They were up 2-0 in the finals. Like, they were up 2-0. And then, you know, Giannis kind of went bananas and, you know, said, yeah, we're not losing this thing. And that's, you know, but yeah, man, you have to. If you're that close, you got to go for it. Because how many more Chris Paul years like this are you getting? I can't, you know, maybe it's another couple, but I don't know, you know, and Devin Booker's there now. DeAndre Ayton is good. You know, your role players are around those guys are really, really good. Like, yeah, I feel like they've got a move in them. Not a blockbuster,
but
just shore up the rotation, get a little bit more depth, and keep that thing cranking. But man, they are good.
Dad Young, come on down, and then off you go. That's the move I'm trying to
make. Dad Young, or you know, that's a spot where I would not hate if they wanted to get involved on, you know, probably not Jeremy Grant, because I think
he wants
too big of a role. Yeah, too expensive. But if you wanted to use Saric and Landry Shamet or somebody like that in a trade and go get Harrison Barnes.
Oh, yeah. Harrison Barnes would be great.
You know, maybe be your super six man off the bench or something like that. Like, now you're really starting to look at that team and you're like, man, that team just doesn't have any holes, right? They already really kind of don't, but it's, you know, boy they would be tough if they make one more move to shore up that rotation, and it's going to be really, really tough to get them out in the playoffs.
Speaking of making one more move, James Jones gets an extension with them, and this is what happens when your team's doing well. You see extensions go to front office personnel. So good to see him
get recognized. Well earned. Yep. very well earned, you know, done a great job, mm-hmm. you know, running that team, especially when it was under tricky circumstances. Let's just say Absolutely. That over the last couple seasons.
All right. I think that's about everything today. Got through it all. Appreciate everybody joining us. Make sure that you do subscribe right here to the NBA Front Office YouTube channel. Ring the notification bell. If you're listening to this over on a podcast, if you're listening to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is, make sure you follow us there as well. Trade deadline's getting closer. We'll be back tomorrow with all the latest. Till then, everybody, see ya and stay safe.